You didn't bring your albums.
I'm not going to do that.
Oh, why not? No. Listen, how many albums do you have?
Over 3,500.
You know how many I've got? One. Trace Ombre, ZZ Top.
Well, I told Lynn I've invested my money. She didn't know where it was invested.
If you ever put those on eBay, you'll never have to work again.
A lot of them.
When I was growing up, we didn't eat much other than casserole or roast beef. That's all my mom ever fixed.
Yes.
A trip to an authentic Tex-Mex restaurant to me was a rare thing. So I get Trace Ombre's and open it up, and I see that spread in the middle of that.
Yeah.
I've been hooked ever since. So you can blame that album. We ought to make sure that we devote at least a little bit of time to our musical tastes. So I guess the first thing we should say in this podcast is, for crying out loud, once you're done, wipe down the equipment.
Yeah, we do a great job of cleaning. We clean all day long. You know, we went through the swine flu back over at the other location, which is, we're about the same distance from McLean. And you know, Fort Worth ISD closed for an entire week to clean all the schools out. So yeah.
I certainly see people who don't think about it at the gym, because when I'm in there in the morning, people will leave the treadmill or they'll leave a weight machine and they don't wipe it down. And it's common courtesy.
Sure it is.
You would hope that
But
would
we
happen.
Keep it clean here. That's one of our big things.
One of the necessary
cleanliness
things.
And customer service.
Putting in the work is such a great subject. It applies not just in sports. I wanted to get Mark McLemore on the show, and Mark's one of my all-time favorite Texas Rangers.
Versatile.
Finished with a .980 fielding average.
Tremendous.
The only positions he didn't play were pitcher, first base, and catcher. That had to be nothing but hard work.
100%, yes. I had to work extremely hard. Growing up, I played everything, baseball, basketball, and football. It wasn't work. It was fun. It was a game. Everything that I played, it was a game. And I just enjoyed playing all three sports, but baseball was the one I enjoyed the most. That was my passion. I had three older brothers, and they all played, so of course I had to do what they were doing. So just being in a neighborhood full of athletes, you always wanted to be the best. You had to play against the best. You had to continue to work and have fun. We had a ton of fun, but just wanting to be the best. That drive was always there.
There's been a lot of talk lately about coaches who demand that players pursue one sport and how that really is counterproductive, counterintuitive to getting the best out of any young athlete, regardless of the activity.
Yeah, I hate that they make young kids choose one sport. There's so many athletes, especially at a young age, you want to let that athlete play whatever they want to play. If it's two sports, three sports, whatever that may be, yeah, at some point, you're going to have to pick one in today's day and age. There are very few two-sport athletes, not to say that they could not be if they continued on that path that they start on, but it's just very difficult to make it in two these days as opposed to just focusing and concentrating on one.
You have three children. Most of your life, you have been a taxi driver.
I have to correct you on that. Most of my life, my wife has been a taxi driver.
But still, the effort, the time commitment of getting this one there and that one over here, that's a big burden on families. How did you manage to keep everything organized?
I didn't. Like I said, it was my wife. She was the one who did all. No, really. I mean, because think about it. Baseball season, basketball season, soccer season. I was at work from February to October. Most or all of those sports are going on in the same summer and fall while I was at work. So it was my wife who did all of that. So the way I kept everything organized was when the season was over, fall in line.
So what you're saying is I'm talking to the wrong McLemore here.
Absolutely.
Well, how did she do it? Because for all intents and purposes, while you're off playing baseball, she's operating as a single parent.
I'll tell you what, it's funny you say that you use that term, because that's exactly how she described it, being, you know, a lot of times she was a single parent because I was gone on the road. I got lucky. I married above my skis, way over my skis. She's the smartest person I know, just very, very organized, and she handled it. Each one of our kids had two sports and at least one instrument to play, and she kept it organized. And a lot of times they were playing three sports, basketball, baseball, football, soccer, track, piano lessons, guitar lessons, drum lessons, whatever it was, she kept them busy. And all the while, when I was on the road, she'd pack them up, meet me on the road with the whole brood. So, yes, that was all her.
I'm guessing that between parents, you have to be on the same page.
We talked and talked and talked about how we wanted to raise our kids, what we wanted to do. And so we've always been on that same page. Even before we got married, we were on the same page, or, you know, there was no need to get married if we weren't. So Of course, along the way, there might have been, you know, a disagreement or two here and there, but it was always that communication to figure things out. And I think she did a pretty good job.
I don't know if you've seen Jeff Fry's post on Twitter, but he yes. posted a bit on how to ruin your player's swing. And essentially what he's doing, he's instructing young baseball players how to hit the wrong way. And it's a bit. It's a gag. Everybody, yeah. you know, relax. He's not teaching kids to drop their shoulders and try to get lift on the ball. The reason that's so funny to us is because if you've been in sports any length of time, you know there are coaches out there who teach technique the wrong way. When you were growing up, among your coaches, is there one bit of advice that you can identify that was the best bit of advice or coaching you ever got from any of the people who influenced your life?
Yeah, I'd probably say when I was a kid, one of my coaches told me, you have to work harder than anybody else, period. You have to work harder than anybody else. And so I always took pride in outworking, no matter who it was, especially guys that were coming in to take my position or that I was in competition with. And for my first 10 years, that's how I was going into camp every single year. I didn't get my first multi-year deal until I came to the Rangers. And that was year 10, 11 of my big league career. So every year I was having to fight and outwork whoever was coming to take my job. Whatever team signed a guy to play second base or wherever it was that I was playing, that was my thing. I'm going to outwork them.
How important is it for coaches to study? Because I think a lot of coaches take what they learned as kids and go with that, and we don't evolve necessarily. And not just insofar as it deals with teaching poor technique, but also learning better techniques.
Well, it's tough. You know, you're only as good as where you get your information from. You know, like Jeff Fry's bit, I actually saw it. I don't tweet very much, but I sent him a message about it because I thought it was hilarious. That's exactly what goes on. I've got a son now that coaches select kids, and he sends me tapes or video clips of some of the instruction that some of the instructors are giving, and it's mind-boggling. So somebody may have a theory, and that's exactly what I think it is. If you haven't done it, it is a theory. Plain and simple, there are no two ways about it. That's just it. It is a theory. It is not proven. So you can read a book, you can listen to somebody tell you how to do it, but that doesn't mean what you're teaching is the right thing. And I'm not knocking people that haven't played in the major leagues. That's not what it is at all. You have parents out there that are doing the best they can to make their children better athletes, but I think that's kind of the wrong approach. I taught my kids the number one thing to do when you go out there, have fun. You're a kid. Have fun. That's what I would ask my kids after every game. Did you have fun? Not, hey, you got to do this. You got to do that. Did you have fun? And then we'll get into that. So, but who are you researching? Are you researching these people or coaches that are doing it wrong? So if you're researching and getting it from somebody who's teaching it wrong, then you're teaching it wrong.
When you got started in the major leagues, I believe you signed a contract for $60,000. By the time you left the major leagues, you were making about $2 million a year. How in the world do you keep your head screwed on straight? Because there's so many temptations to stop doing the things that got you there.
You have to really go with what got you there. I mean, I didn't have an easy career. I mean, like I said, I had to fight for a job pretty much every year of my career, especially the first half of it. But you just have to have that desire. And hopefully you've got some good people around you. I had some really good people around me my whole life, my family, brothers and sisters that kept my head screwed on right. I was still the baby brother, so they never let me get too far out of whack. And then my wife. You know, I think that's a huge piece because she saw all of the everything, all of it, the good times, the bad times, what went into it, phone calls and being released a couple of times, all those different things. So having good people around you is I think, key. And then, you know, obviously being a Christian, having that faith. Which wasn't always the strongest, but coming back to it and just staying focused and grounded on what's important and what's not.
I asked you and contacted you through the Rangers to come out and sign autographs on our field day at our youth association one year. And you were supposed to be there for an hour. And of course, there was a line 2.5 hours long to see you. And I didn't know this until after you left, an hour and a half longer than you were supposed to, that your dad was very ill at the time. And in fact, in the hospital, I think near the end of his life. And in spite of that, You made sure every child who lined up to meet you and get an autograph went home happy. And that made me a Mark McLemore fan for life. When I heard about that, I thought, oh my gosh, he is my hero, and you always have been. And by the way, I tweeted a reply to Jeff, and I said, now teach me about basket catches and throwing across your body.
And you better believe he'll do it.
Oh, I know. I hope he does. I can't wait to see that video.
He'll clear out there.
Mark McLemore, can't wait to see you this season. Looking forward to it, man. It's always great talking to you. Thank you so much.
You got it, Jody. Anytime.
Hard work is everything.
Well, I don't really get into the single-digit kids being pushed too hard, to be honest with you. Football coaching is 10, 11, and 12. You and I played at 8 years old. I'm not a big fan of putting the helmet on unless you got 2 digits to your age, at least. You know, there's a big push now to go to 14, but we'll get into that in another time.
In another time, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the hard work, the preparation, it's getting results. We train and we test certain areas for speed and strength. And when you retest those things, just like anything, once you see the positive output or gain from the work you put in, it should make you want to work harder to get even greater gain.
I think a lot of times what we do as adults, certainly as parents, is we get in correction mode rather than encouragement mode. And we question motivation, we question intensity, we question desire. Rather than reinforcing the positives, we focus in on the things that kids could do better. And what I've learned over time is that you get those results if you focus in on the things that they did well. And say, you, for instance, I refer to that speech class I teach at Paul Quinn College. Not all of these kids are gifted public speakers, but when I see them do something really, really well, boy, I write that in my notes. We're going to talk about that after this is over. And I'm going to say, you did that well, you did that well, you did that well. Make them feel good about what they did, and they want to come back and do it again.
Effort is what we're looking for. Consistency of effort. You know, Usain Bolt ran the 100 over and over and over. He only set that great time one time, but he's constantly running. It's like the golfer who might have shot 59 or 60. He knows he's not going to shoot that every single time. So as I tell athletes to come in and work out, just because you may have had a peak performance one day where we hit a lot of personal numbers, that doesn't mean every day we're going to hit them and exceed them. But it's the consistency of effort.
Texas A&M men's basketball coach Buzz Williams said something over the last few days that was fantastic. Bill Jones from CBS 11 posted it in his Twitter feed, and I went back and looked at it. And it was, the work is the reward. And it actually comes from an old Ralph Waldo Emerson quote where he said, you know, the reward of a job well done is the work you put into it, more or less. That's the paraphrase of it. But what Coach Williams has to say about the work is the reward is something we all need to pay attention to.
What I've learned is the work is the reward, not being recognized for the work, because then it makes it seem like we were doing all of this for others. No, we were trying to help them. And so then maybe the time that I've given, if it's built on the right thing, not on the results, maybe the reward is the work. And so my whole lens has changed on all of this. What's transpired here is historical, not that we won 10 games. What's transpired here is transformational for their life. And their willingness to change and do it as a group, and the fight and the togetherness that they play with, the winning is just a byproduct of that.
You know, and I think it was Thoreau who said, drive the nail and clinch it so securely that you can wake in the middle of the night and view it with satisfaction. If you're the only person who knows, then that's enough. Whether you have an audience, whether you have a crowd, if you are satisfied and can look back and say, I did the best I could. To be able to look internally and find that,
sure.
that's the thing that drives you.
Well, your big achievers and your guys and gals that do well all the time, you have to condition their emotional response when they don't. You know, that it's not always going to go your way. If you're in a team sport, you're playing for the people on your team and the coaches. And we talk about making our parents happy. We also want to do that with coaches that provide praise and consistency of that when we do well. And they encourage us or ask us why we're not doing as well instead of browbeating us. Those are the guys that we want to come back to the sideline and see that smile and get that praise and reward from too.
Oh, it was,
and teammates.
It was the joy on your teammates' faces.
Sure,
you were
goal line stand, or we drove it 80 yards and scored, or we came back from 20 points down, or we scored in the bottom of the ninth to win. That's all that hard work paying off.
I remember, I think I was maybe 9 years old, playing for the University Little League Hawks. And we'd had a rain delay, and we had to restart the game the next day at the same spot where we had had to walk away, and actually run away, because a big thunderstorm had moved across the fields.
Good.
And they actually had to pour gasoline on the infield dirt and burn it to dry it enough to where we could play. It was crazy. And so we restarted the game, and the game ended on an infield grounder to the left side of the field. And I don't remember who it was who fielded the ball, but I was playing first. And so they throw across the diamond, and in order to catch the ball, I had my first baseman's mitt.
Nice.
I remember my mom bought it with S&H green stamps.
We went down there on Seminary Drive.
Yeah, on Seminary Drive, and I managed to ice cream cone this ball. I mean, I had it in the webbing of my glove.
Yes.
But I'd fallen off the bag, and I lunged and managed to tag the bag before the runner got to first, and we wound up winning that game. And to this day, I remember my teammates coming out of that dugout.
Sure.
Nothing like it on earth.
Absolutely.
And, you know, when you have those moments, they weld themselves to who you are.
Right.
I just never was an individual sport kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
I like being part of a team and celebrating as a team. I mean, you and me and the guys we hung out with, we're still friends 40 years later. That was always everything. It stayed that way all the way through my professional life, too, into radio, into broadcasting. Whenever we had a victory, to share it with other people.
Much more joyous.
That's the subject of something that Georgia State men's basketball coach Rob Lanier said. They had a pretty lackadaisical effort at the start of March, and I want to say it was against Georgia Southern. And after the game, some of the reporters asked him, you guys kind of looked frustrated at the end of the game, maybe even a little like you'd quit. You would expect a coach to start pounding the podium at that point. But what he had to say is the kind of wisdom that every parent, every coach needs to hear.
You know, it's a long year. Like I said, we've been a lot of things. And more often than not, we've been resilient and tough, and we've had some fight. And we just need to get back to that aspect of our personality. And maybe, you know, put a little bit more value in one another and be connected. And, you know, I've told you guys this before. We say a prayer every game, before and after. And we say we take a moment of silence for those less fortunate than ourselves, because we get the opportunity to do what we love, and we shouldn't take it for granted. And this whole experience is very fleeting. So when you get an opportunity as a young person to go through this journey together, try to make the most of it, right? Because I don't want these guys to regret this experience. And I think we walked out of here Friday with a great deal of regret. And if we go down swinging and we go down, then we shake hands, we go back to work and try to get better. But when you quit, you're gonna have regret. And so I think it's more about that than trying to bottle something up or whatever. Like, I just think we got to get better. We got to appreciate one another. We got to make the most of the time that we have, because we don't have as much as we think sometimes.
You know, you can get a lot of things out of sports. You can get a lot of things out of extracurricular activities. But when you can get that perspective from the individual who's leading you out onto the court, out onto the field, that's life-changing.
Mm-hmm.
How do you identify a coach who's teaching kids good technique?
Well, I think the results that your child's getting in competition, who you put them with in training, be no different than going to a math tutor for a month. And then on the midterm or the final, make a C or D, I would say that wasn't a very good tutor. So it's got to be the results that you're getting. There's a lot of different styles and ways to do things and accomplish things. Technique is individual. There's some set ways to do certain things, but there's also a lot of little tweaks and twerks to things that enhance those that someone has. Improving in those areas that you sought out somebody to improve upon, that's what you really got to identify. And sit down with the kid, too. If you're taking your child to somebody, they also should have a one-on-one with that instructor. What do you want to get accomplished in here? Where do you see yourself going forward? And what commitment am I going to get from you? Because this is a commitment you're going to get from me, and lay that out. We have a list of rules we give it to our players every year. What you can expect from your coaches, and here's what we expect from you. And that should be on the bulletin board in the room every night to look at when you get up and go to bed.
I am really going to be disappointed next time if you don't bring at least one of those 3,500 albums.
I will try to bring one. See if we can get into this day in rock history. That might be fun to do.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Thank you, brother. Love you.